Hello and welcome to the PropTech Hot Seat on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we explore trends and technologies driving innovation across the built environment. This show is brought to you in partnership with PropTech Ireland, the hub for innovators, investors, and indeed for industry leaders. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by co-founder and COO of Chainels, Sander Versipot. Sander, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you for having me today on your show.
I'm delighted. And in fact, this is a double bonus because actually we got to speak to your co-founder, Erin, only a couple of months ago, really to talk about the Chainels experience and what tenant experience really means looking at a global perspective. And when I spoke to him, we focused a lot on retail, but I'm conscious that I want to kind of get the spread of residential, office and mixed use. But the first thing I have to do today is to congratulate you and your team because Chainels just won the Impact Award, the Communicare Impact Award at the Global ESG Awards just last month at MIPIM in Cannes.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was an amazing recognition for our company, of course. So we were super happy to be
Well,
awarded for this great prize.
Do you know, I was delighted. We were delighted to be there at the awards. iProperty Radio was the awards media partner, so we were delighted to be able to photograph the joy of your team on stage as they were accepting their award. So I think, first of all, this was the inaugural Global ESG Awards, and while it was taking place at MIPIM, which obviously is, one of the main global real estate events of the year. As with any new awards, there's maybe an education process that needs to happen. So what made you and the team at Chainels want to go forward and, put the time and effort that it takes to apply for the Global ESG Awards?
Yeah, I think in general, a lot of real estate companies realize that they should start acting upon ESG. However, they are sometimes still struggling, like, hey, what is the best approach? So we really see it as a, an industry trend where we should, tap into and really focus on. Especially if you look at our clients, a lot of them started to hire a ESG manager, someone really dedicated on this topic. So yeah, that was one of the main reasons.
And
It's a hot
I
topic.
no, but absolutely, absolutely. And I mentioned there that Chainels won the Communicare Impact Award. Now, for me, we're very much an impact-driven business, but we work helping clients to understand the impact that they have and maybe to articulate that and to do it in a more strategic and concerted way for social benefit for the communities in which they're operating. But for me, impact is one of the most important, I suppose, elements of ESG and how this impacts not just the industry, but the community around. So, what made you kind of hone in on the Impact Award? What was it about the Chainels offering that you felt would be a good fit there?
I think overall with our tenant experience app and platform, we connect, of course, all the tenants, but also service providers and the landlord into one community. And we've seen that in a lot of projects, an ESG strategy is a lot more stronger and better executed if you actively involve the tenants in that strategy. So whether that is about mitigating energy consumption, working on waste management, or really creating social value within your community. It's a lot easier to execute an ESG strategy if your tenants are on board and working towards it.
That's a really powerful message that's worth repeating because I think in terms of developing ESG strategies, we're still at a reasonably early stage, not just across Ireland, but across real estate in general. And I think that's a very powerful thing you've just said there, that ESG, that these strategies are better executed when you involve your tenants. And that's something we've found to be our experience. However, it's not maybe the natural response, or it's not the natural approach that real estate portfolio owners and managers would take. So I think that's quite a powerful lesson. I mentioned there that we had interviewed your co-founder a couple of months ago. But for anybody who didn't hear that interview, who isn't maybe as familiar with Chainals, you might just take us through some of the core offering, because it is, of course, a tenant experience app. But you might just talk us through some of the, I suppose, the fine detail.
Yeah, for sure. So we started off this company back in 2011 at Delft University of Technology, and initially we started to focus on retail. So we figured out that in a shopping mall there are so many stakeholders involved, and it's really a challenge to really connect everyone and really streamline processes. So that was the initial focus, and then we moved towards more mixed use residential projects. So the basic idea is that we create a one-stop shop for the tenants with all the info you need to work or live in a building. So that ranges from new services and amenities, local discounts. And generally, we offer this to investors that have a portfolio of buildings. And generally, it's white labeled. So the Chainals brand moves towards the background, and it's really the tenant platform for the landlord. And then from the asset management perspective, we can give a lot of insights on how the asset is being operated, like how is the tenant satisfaction evolving. In retail, we can also gather all the turnover data from the tenants to see like, hey, how is the asset operating? And generally we connected with the whole IT ecosystem of the landlords. So not being a standalone solution, but be a fully integrated solution.
Very good. And actually, I remember from the last interview that I was genuinely fascinated by I suppose the range of stakeholders that I hadn't really considered in retail, because we think of the asset owner and then we think of the asset managers, and then there are so many individual retailers within that environment. You know, say for example, if it was a shopping center or something like that, and there's so many individual retailers within there. But then I suppose across tenant engagement, maybe our focus might have been then onto the end consumer coming in and out of those brands. So actually, retail is a really interesting dynamic compared to maybe some of the others. So anybody who would like a little bit more information on that, I recommend you go back and listen to the interview that we've also done with Chainals, with Sander's co-founder, with Sander's co-founder there, Erin, because we really get into the minutiae of retail in a way that's very interesting, and one that we haven't explored on the show here before, despite us talking about tenant engagement for many years. It was just an aspect that we hadn't considered before, and I think it's really relevant for anybody that's operating in the retail space. But just more broadly on tenant engagement, let's take us back to maybe the residential side, because I know on core residential, this is really an area of expertise that you've built up. But I'm always curious as to what tenant engagement looks like, because people's expectations change, and I want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. So, looking solely at the residential side, tenant engagement in 2024, what does that look like?
Over the years, we figured out that it really starts with having all the basics in place. So, if you are a residential tenant and you start living in an asset, you first of all would like everything to work properly. So, if there is an issue, you want to have a smooth process of reporting and being up to date on what is happening. I think over the years, we really figured out what are the mandatory workflows that you need to digitalize in order to get high adoption. Because it all starts with adoption. So that means that if you are, let's say, living in a residential tower, starts with, for example, access control or smooth parcel delivery. One of the pain points that we identified for people living in an apartment is package delivery. People preferably want a smooth process. So if they download our app, they are at least able to enter the building, get info about their package delivery. And then if you have those basic workflows in place, apart from ticketing and maintenance, you can start more looking at the community building aspect. So we also researched 1,750 tenants in the UK, France, and the Netherlands about their living expectations. And it turns out that people liked to make friends. They feel safer, they feel less lonely if they are part of a community and if they can interact with other people. And that mainly applies for expats and also students. And on the other hand, you have people that just want convenience and they are not so interested to connect with their neighbors. But we figured out a way to streamline all that communication. So if you are not so into connecting with others, you can just opt out for that communication and use the basic services and amenities. And if you are interested, you can chat with your neighbors and yeah, really start the conversation. But we figured out that it's important to serve both type of users on the platform.
You know, it's interesting that you say that kind of that was the survey of what 1750 tenants. Because actually, and I know you're not yet operating in the Irish market, but perhaps looking towards the Irish marketplace at the moment. And actually, Ireland was only in recent months. Was awarded the unpleasant accolade of being the loneliest country. So, as in Irish people through a survey have actually self-identified as having the highest levels of loneliness across the EU. So I think when you talk about the community side of it, it's exceptionally important and maybe something that has been done in a slightly tokenistic way in the past. And something that we'd like to see done better. So you're talking about this community building aspect, but that requires activation. And I think you had mentioned there, you just said in passing, well, if they download the app, they can do this. But actually, as any PropTech startup and innovator knows, if they download the app, that's a big thing. So step one, how do you get people to activate to download the app so that you can actually start activating some community building?
It again starts with having the basics in place. So that means if you are entering a new apartment, the only place where you can find any manuals, your rental contract, maybe your rental invoice, or stuff like reporting a damage should be in place, and it should be visible. So if you enter your apartment, there should be maybe I know a flyer or a poster that is really highlighting, like, hey, this is the service that we use to inform you. And that is, I think, really important. So we come across a lot of residential buildings where the take up, the adoption is higher than 95%. But then we always ensure that there are mandatory workflows in place. So also, if a new building is delivered, often they already start downloading the app to plan their moving. So from the beginning, they have to do it in order to get things done. That is kind of our key takeaway.
And then I suppose you have a way of keeping them engaged. So obviously people want access to be able to report if there's an issue within their development, whatever it is. But in terms of then activating the community building, technology can only do so much, as in you can bring people to the app. How do you activate community building within a residential building, or does that fall outside of Chainl's offering?
I think we have various types of projects. On the one hand, you have the projects where the landlord just wants all the basics to be in place. They don't really expect that much community building and that much interaction. They just want to facilitate the inhabitants to have a better experience. And then we have the companies that really focus on hospitality management, event management. So apart from property management, they have someone that is dedicated to this type of events, activities, community building. So that is, I think two types of landlords, two types of clients, where on the one hand there's emphasis on community building, and on the other hand there's more emphasis on convenience.
No, and look, to be fair, we know that that was kind of one of the early drivers of the tenant engagement apps, but it's just interesting to see maybe what the perception of what an experience is. So is the experience a touch-free, seamless process in and out and around the building, or do people want more? And that's where it comes down to expectations. But I would imagine those expectations change when we're looking at mixed use. So in terms of tenant engagement, if we're looking at mixed use, whether it's residential and retail or office, and residential, or indeed office residential and retail, which we occasionally see in Ireland, particularly across some of our smaller cities or outside of the main urban areas. How do you approach tenant engagement when there's so many different stakeholders and different types of stakeholders?
Actually, complex multi-stakeholder mixed-use projects are really, I would say, our specialism. So sometimes you have these residential landlords that also offer co-working because they recognize that more and more people work from home and people prefer to not only work from their living room, but they like to interact with others. So then we also make sure that the whole co-working space is on the platform. People can book and pay for those amenities, for example. If there's retail around, we can ensure that tenants in the residential towers, for example, can see the local discount from the nearby retailers to improve the local businesses and to, in the end, drive adoption. Because people, at least in the Netherlands and Western Europe, they like discounts, so they will again download the app and start using it. Generally, mixed-use projects, we can facilitate them, and the property manager can target them either one by one or by branch or category. So if they have a sprinkler announcement that's just for retail, they can just target the retail. If it's for residential, they can just target the residential. So that's really one of the focus areas of our platform.
Very good. And I started the interview by obviously congratulating you on winning the Impact Award at the Global ESG Awards, which took place at MIPIM just last month, which is a huge achievement. But as mentioned, these were the inaugural ESG Awards. ESG is still finding its way across the built environment. So I think like one of the things that we would be very strong on is advocating for the social element, because I feel that too many people that I speak to think the S stands for sustainability and as opposed to social, and that's a real problem. So I think the environmental aspects are being driven more by regulation and by funding. So in a way, while there's a huge body of work to be done, I feel like that's happening and it's underway, and there are key drivers to ensure that happens. Where social is the part that I think as an industry we need to put more effort, we need to work to get right. So that's a really important one. But I'm very conscious that portfolio owners, are large agency owners, whether they're property managers or indeed the tenants of those buildings, and they're bringing their team, their workplace, the team into the workplace. ESG can be a confusing place for them to navigate. And with all the best intentions, people want to do the right thing. It's not always clear how to do the right thing. I'm really interested in something that you and the Channels team are doing at the moment, and that is you've introduced a number of scorecards, ESG scorecards. So you might just explain simply what they are and how the industry can use them.
Indeed, it was. This was one of the focus areas and one of the reasons I think why we ended up winning the ESG award, because we had an ESG consultant for quite a period in our office, and he really conducted thorough research on the impact of the tool on the BREEAM, WELL, and GRESB framework. And then you have for each framework, you have different topics where our platform can contribute to and make an impact on. So he filled those criteria in, and then he concluded that we can contribute to 9% of the requirements on average for those three frameworks. And of course, per asset type, we have different types of examples on how we can make an impact. So within a shopping mall, we have great examples where we show the energy consumption back to the tenants. That's more on the environmental part. But also they share a lot of insights on how to dispose your waste, because this is a huge problem within shopping centers. There's so much waste also from the tenant side that we can help with. And then from the residential side, we can really contribute to the social value, as you mentioned. So we figured out that indeed 30% of the people feel less lonely if they are able to connect with their neighbors. They feel safer. And ultimately, for the landlord, this helps, retaining the tenants. So it really contributes to tenant retention. So I think this research really helped to make it a bit more tangible and measurable what we can do in terms of ESG impact. But in the end, it depends on the typology and the asset type on what we can actually contribute in terms of
And
ESG.
very good. And the offering through your website. So, is it the case that any portfolio owner, anybody operating across the built environment, can actually go through a series of questions and to see how they score against the key ESG frameworks that you've mentioned there? So, I know you mentioned BREEAM, GRESB, and of course, WELL Building, and they would be three that are very well accepted in Ireland. We're certainly at a point in time where some of the accreditations are being called into question. So they would be three that would be very well accepted, very well respected, and understood across the industry. So it is helpful for, again, anybody operating in the built environment to establish a baseline of where they are at the moment, so they know what creative steps or what, sorry, what action steps they need to take. So you might just explain how the scorecards work. So is it a case that through your website is it one series of questions that they answer and then they receive a scorecard across the three different frameworks?
At the moment, it's we publish various scorecards that can be downloaded from the website, and also there are a few different scorecards to download based on the asset type that you are working with. But then, if you would, for example, download the BREEAM scorecard, you can generally see on which topics a tenant experience platform contributes, and then particularly. Yeah, we used our platform as a baseline. And then we are happy to have a call with someone who is interested to really dive deeper into the specific asset to make it more tangible. But it gives you at least inspiration if you're working on ESG, on to what extent a tenant experience platform can contribute to some of your requirements. So it's not like filling in a questionnaire and you get your points. Maybe we will end up there soon, but for now, you can at least download and see where you are and how it can contribute to your goals.
Given their perspectives, the international perspectives that you have, what can you tell us about maybe some of the companies that have who are not clients of yours or who were not clients of yours when they completed these scorecards? Did this help you? Were there any surprises? Did it help you establish kind of where the industry is in terms of ESG adoption? Maybe some, did it highlight some attitudes that might be of note?
Yeah, I think personally, I mainly talk to ESG managers within retail. One of my other colleagues had more conversations around residential, but within retail, we noticed that majority of the focus is on the environmental part, and that mainly had to do with the energy crisis and the high prices of energy across mainland Europe, mainly in 2022. So then they started adding solar panels. They started to show energy consumption to the tenants by also using our platform. So they're mainly still focused on the environmental part. And I think the social part is still to discover, I would say, for a lot of companies.
That's a very generous way for you to put that. The social side is still for the companies to discover, whereas I would probably be a little more robust and say they need to understand that there's a value here. They need to understand this is important. And for me, the interesting thing around, particularly say, we work right across the built environment. And one thing we see on construction is that actually construction companies would be very high typically at delivering social value, but they don't articulate it. So while they had a huge amount of work to do to meet some of the environmental goals and to meet some of the sustainability targets, actually the social was the part they were doing quite naturally and doing well, but not very good at articulating it. So actually, we're in a process of trying to help some of those, say, construction and home building clients and development clients to understand the social value that they're creating through placemaking and in other initiatives. And only this weekend we were out at our local GAA, which is a local football and hurling clubs in Ireland, sporting clubs, community sporting, definitely amateur. And you know, all of the jerseys would read businesses, and generally the names on the little footballers, children running around the field, and adults would be home builders. Home builders tend to be very good supporters of their local community. And they didn't understand that that was social value. That is absolutely fulfilling the criteria that falls under the social value at ESG. Because they've been doing it for decades, they didn't understand. They thought social value would be something new. So I think it's important that in this era of digitalization and technology and monitoring and measuring, that actually we don't lose some of the good stuff that was happening across the industry anyway. So I suppose finally, before we finish up today, Sandra, you might just maybe let us know what we can expect from the Channels team. You've had an exciting year in terms of funding announcements and winning the inaugural Global ESG Awards for Impact. What can we expect over the next 12 months?
Looking at our propositions, we mainly foresee that the residential mixed use as well as the retail proposition will grow. So we do have various office projects, but the main growth areas will be the one that I just mentioned. Generally, one of the things that we focus on is localization of the platform. So we are active across Europe and we can provide the platform in each desired language, which really helps also considering retail. If we want to involve the whole community of people that work in a shopping center, it's super important that it's in the local language and not only in English. So generally we have a land and expand strategy. So generally we start with two, three buildings, and after half a year we do an impact review. We show the added value, the impact that we created, and then the aim is to deploy the platform in the portfolio. So we foresee quite some growth. And apart from Western Europe, we really see that the CEE region and also Southern Europe region is picking up.
Exciting times.
Definitely, yeah.
Very good. Okay. Well, look, very best of luck to yourself and to the Channels team. That was COO and co-founder of Channels, Sandra Verspot. Our thanks, as always, to producer Katie Tallon and to the audio team at Hear Me Roar Media. Before we go, just a special word of thanks to our sponsor, PropTech Ireland, for supporting the podcast and for making these conversations possible. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the PropTech Hot Seat. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.